Businesses are hyper-conscious of their reputations. We can all be cynical about some of the motives, but is there a genuine desire to achieve something more than profit when it comes to being a business person, to running a company? The idea is taking hold, and the Chartered Accountants of Australia and New Zealand are holding a conference in Sydney, then in Auckland, with the theme of the purpose beyond profit. It's about community benefit, better relationships with employees and customers, things other than the ledger. Two of the speakers join me now, each with their own fascinating stories. Tashika Jones is the Group Financial Director with the Intrepid Travel Group. She's in our Melbourne studio. Tashika, hi.
Hi there, Andrew. How are you?
Well, thanks. And David Cook is Chair and Managing Director of the Konica Minolta Technology Firm, at least the Australian subsidiary of it. And David's in our Sydney studio. Welcome, David.
Good morning, Andrew.
Now, David, if I tell you, by the way, that my first camera was a Konica and my father's camera was a Konica and my grandfather's camera was a Konica, am I the sort of person who still keeps you in business?
It's a very good question. I would say once you become famous for a certain product set, it's very hard to become unfamous for that. But Konica Minolta hasn't made cameras for 12 years
right
now. However, the imaging technology has moved into other products such as business technology, network printing and scanning and document management and medical systems and things of this nature.
Yeah, so you're a pretty high-tech company, a very high-tech company. So why did you recently hire a 28-year-old woman with a master's degree in human rights?
Yes. So, look, I became the managing director 4 years ago. And on that day when it was announced at a national conference, I stepped up on stage not knowing what I was going to say. I hadn't prepared anything. And what came out of my mouth was that I wanted us all to work together to develop a company that really cared about the people that worked there, cared about our customers, and cared about society. And one of the pieces of caring about society is that we had become aware of really a worldwide problem of modern slavery, where the Gallup organisation had done a massive research project and determined there were about 47 million people still enslaved in the world today. And to my eternal shame, I thought that had gone away with the end of the Civil War or whatever, but anything but that. And so we decided within our own little corner of the world, we needed to go and look and find out whether there may be any goods or services that we were purchasing for our use in our business that might be made off the back of people being exploited in some way.
Yeah, and Laura McManus is your Director of Ethical Research. What does Laura look into?
Right. So, as you mentioned, she has a master's in human rights, and she comes from the Walk Free Foundation, which was set up by Andrew Forrest. Mm. So she has an NGO background, but now has morphed very well into the corporate side of things. And essentially, she developed a set of tools that we use, and they're on our website. Any company or any government department can use them. And they enable us to go and have conversations with our suppliers. So we buy lots of stuff in our business. We buy cotton polo t-shirts for our service engineers. We buy, you know, office furniture. We have cleaning contracts, all that kind of stuff that businesses do. And we're now engaged in conversations with those suppliers to say, look, if we're going to have a long-term relationship with you, then we need you to go and shine a torch and have a look and see how things are made by your subcontractors or overseas suppliers or even local suppliers, just to make sure there are no human rights abuses. And if you do that and you're willing to go down that path with us, then you're probably going to have a very, very long-term contractual relationship with us.
So Laura follows the money.
Yes, we could say that.
Tashika, we'll come to you in a moment, but there's a sort of a story that unites what you and David are doing. David, tell me about the story when you discovered something troubling about the plight of one of your office cleaners.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the situation there was that, like most firms, we use contract cleaning companies in our offices around Australia. In one particular situation, a Nepalese woman came and said, look, I know I don't work for Konica Minolta, but I've been cleaning your offices for many years now. And so I just wanted to say goodbye because I'm moving on. And I said, why are you leaving? And rather hesitantly, she started to talk to me about the fact that she didn't feel she was treated very well and so on. And I probed a little bit further and a bit further. And essentially what was happening is that she was paid the proper hourly rate per hour, but she was given a considerable area of office to clean that was, and let's say paid for 1 hour to do that job, but in actual fact, it would take several hours to do that job every day. Mm. And from my understanding now, I'm not saying all contract cleaning companies are bad by any means, but within the cleaning industry and the hospitality industry, it's not an uncommon story that there may be exploitation of workers.
Yeah, Dashika, you've got that common link with David because Intrepid Travel does a lot of work with Nepal. So, what is the relationship that your company has with Nepal?
So it's a long-standing relationship with the country itself. But what I might talk to a little bit is probably our biggest effort around the earthquake that hit Nepal. In 2015, a 7.8 scale earthquake hit Nepal. Tourism is the biggest industry in Nepal, so many people's lives were impacted significantly. Intrepid is the largest tour operator in Nepal, so we acted quickly. Within 24 hours, we launched an emergency appeal campaign, which reached 400,000 in donations within weeks. But we knew that Nepal would need more than donations to get back on its feet. Mm. So we looked at how we could work with a range of stakeholders to bring back travellers, remembering that tourism is its biggest industry. So not only for the benefit for Intrepid Group, for the whole industry as well.
Yeah, I think you were an Intrepid traveller before you were an executive with the company, weren't you?
You've done your research, Andrew. I have been with the company for about 15 months now, but I have been a customer of the Intrepid Group for about 12 years.
David, how can you be certain, and I know you've put in place these checks, that all of the supply lines satisfy what you want to be high standards for human rights, workers' rights, not exploitation?
Yeah, so we can't be certain at this stage, and I'm not sure that we can ever be 100% certain about every dollar we spend with every particular supplier. But I think the important thing is that we've built a set of tools. We've hired a full-time subject matter expert. The company, in terms of our culture, is very committed to doing this, and we're on our way. And we're working with our suppliers. We're not bashing people up. We're just saying, we're not experts, you're not experts. It's pretty new ground for a lot of Australian companies. Let's go on this, I hate the journey word, but let's go on this journey together. And let's see if we can try and eliminate as much exploitation of workers as possible.
It's Saturday Extra, Andrew West with you. We're discussing business beyond profit. David Cook, Chair and Managing Director of the Konica Minolta firm in Australia, and Dashika Jones, Group Financial Director with the Intrepid Travel Group. Dashika, have you in your business effectively had to look at quote-unquote supply lines, the sort of people that you engage as tour guides or as operators in Nepal and other parts of South Asia, for example?
Definitely. That's very, very much core to the Intrepid experience, if you like, as well. And in terms of most of our businesses, so if you travel with Intrepid, you are actually on the ground being taken. Your tour guides are Intrepid employees. So we actually have offices in 19 different countries around the world to help manage that supply chain. So through that process, we're using local guides and local suppliers. So as you were saying, so that really helps you to manage that supply chain process, as well as from a customer. You do get that very, very local experience. Mm.
Do you think that Intrepid actually benefits financially by being ethical?
I think so. So there's this whole concept, which is what the CA Institute is talking about next week, but also very much being very core to the Intrepid Group is the whole concept around purpose beyond profit. But more and more so, how having that purpose beyond profit can in fact create that competitive advantage. Mm. So for example, our response to the Nepal earthquake gave us a lot of publicity, and we in fact got significantly more people coming back with us. Mm. So I think it builds loyalty. Mm.
Can you both understand, though, and I mentioned there was sometimes a bit of cynicism about companies that have the triple bottom line, the environmental, the human rights, the social impact. And you see a lot of companies that have signed up, for example, to the same-sex marriage campaign. But critics have written to me and said, yes, but they have very bad industrial relations. They have, pretty poor customer relations. Do you worry, as people who are trying to be ethical, that there are companies that are sort of greenwashing or pinkwashing or this sort of thing, David?
Yes, it's a good point. Definitely, I would say that if an organisation is doing something good with the left hand and something bad with the right hand, that's unacceptable. There's an expression in the human rights community that there are no carbon offsets when it comes to human rights. You can't pollute and plant trees in the world of human rights. However, I would say that I don't see any incompatibility between purpose and profit. I actually think that being a good company, contributing positively to society, having a regard for the health and well-being of your workers and so on, will contribute positively to your bottom line. So it's a beautiful virtuous circle in my mind.
You have rebutted, I think, the argument, though, David, that businesses are legally required to put their shareholders and financial benefits above everything else.
Yes, well, it's interesting. I've probably reinterpreted that phrase in that I sometimes see organisations putting forward the idea that we can't do all of these good things and, donate money to not-for-profit partners or help solve the ills of the world or whatever, because we have to be focused on getting as big a dividend as possible for our shareholders. I simply make the point that if you are a good company and you can build a brand, as Intrepid Travel have, around being a good organisation, then people will want to come and work for you. People will stay longer. You'll have lower turnover rates. More people will have regard to buying your products and services. And it's actually a positive contribution to the bottom line.
Yeah, Dashika, in your job as Group Financial Director, you have to get the best financial result for the company. But has the company ever put the sort of concerns that you're talking about before profit? I mean, have you literally sacrificed profit?
We have on a few different occasions. The biggest one that got the most amount of publicity was around our stand on elephant riding. So we made a rather, at the time, a very brave stand. Elephant riding is one of those very much go-to attractions in Southeast Asia. But over a period of time, our travellers and staff were getting very concerned about the ethics behind elephant riding. So we did some research. We funded some research through World Animal Protection, which actually found that harsh treatment that elephants are put through in order to be domesticated, because elephants aren't domesticated animals, that how much damage it was actually doing to the actual elephants. So we made a decision to actually end elephant riding in all our trips, which was a big decision in terms of in the travel industry. We were the first to actually make that decision. But what we did find through that is the amazing awareness that was raised in that space, that it turned out that subsequently we led the way in terms of another 100 tour operators actually stopped the elephant riding as well.
Yeah, just very briefly, Dashika, though, did the local operators suffer when you phased out elephant riding?
That is always a concern, isn't it? So we did do some work with the local operators in terms of alternative sources. There are a lot of animal protection, elephant protection organisations. So it is a delicate balance. So it's more the rehabilitation side of it is more the redistribution.
Well, look, great to talk to you both. Dashika Jones, the Group Financial Director with the Intrepid Travel Group, and David Cook, Chair and Managing Director of Konica Minolta Technology in Australia. And they're both speakers at a conference of the Australian and New Zealand accountants on business beyond profit.